You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Let us pray. Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek to rest, to labor and to ask for no reward, save that knowing I do your will. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to our program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joys. We are
Nick
and Mary Angela. So looking forward to spending some time with you this evening. We welcome everyone listening online in Toronto, in Canada, on the internet, around the world. A special thank you to all those from All Saints Parish. Thank you for your support.
So the purpose of our programs are to spread the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And in this case, we will be using Ignatian spirituality. So the topic of the month for July, we will be talking about St. Ignatius, whose feast day we celebrate at the end, July 31st. And we will be talking about Ignatian spirituality. And the second part of the program will be going on a Jesuit retreat. So this all started back in June 2008 when we attended our first Jesuit retreat.
Has it been that long ago? Wow.
That long at Manresa, you know. It truly changed our lives. So we will introduce to you Ignatian spirituality. And there's only so much time we have this evening, so what we hope to do is just give you a taste of the teachings of St. Ignatius and the Jesuit fathers.
So profound.
So the intentions for this evening, we pray, and we continue to pray for all the doctors, nurses, medical staff, and everyone that keeps the economy going, especially in with this COVID happening, this pandemic around the world. We pray for all those who are sick and suffering with the COVID. We especially pray for Emilio Deo and his family, for the repose of his soul, and also for the repose of the soul of Ricardo Sala and his family. We also pray for those who may be suffering mentally, physically, or spiritually. So we are taping this show for the fourth month from the comfort of where we live for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The COVID numbers in around the world, they continue to spike. We were hoping that it would get better around the world. But the good news is Toronto,
Ontario,
and the rest of Canada.
We're doing much, much better.
Yeah, because the simple things of social distancing, wash your hands, and don't touch your face, and, you know, and wearing a mask.
Wearing a mask, yeah.
You know, it sounds simple, and it is. Mm-hmm. But I think if we continue to do that, we hope to bring the numbers down. And we pray for the, you know, good leadership around the world to, because sometimes you wonder, like, it sounds so simple and it's so frustrating when you hear the numbers going up. Are people really following it? But what we're here to do is spread the message of the good news.
And Yeah, and we're also grateful that we've been able to go back to church, right?
Yeah, that's a blessing. And there we can receive the Eucharist and pray even better as a community for the, you know, for hopefully a vaccine and a cure for this coronavirus.
So now let's start our program. And so we'll talk a little bit about Saint Ignatius and the history of Saint Ignatius. He was born in 1491 in Loyola, Castile, Spain. He was a Spanish soldier and aristocrat who discerned his calling after suffering and nearly being wounded on the battlefield. He was spiritually awakened while defending the citadel of Pamplona against the French. Ignatius was hit by a cannonball on May 20th, 1521, and he sustained a bad fracture on his right leg and damage to his left. And it was this event that closed the first period of his life.
Yeah, and sometimes we need a big or a tough event to give us...
That awakens us.
Yeah, that spiritual awakening.
Yeah. And then as a result of this happening to him, he was in a period of recovery for many, many weeks, and during which he read The Life of Christ and a book on the lives of the saints. And why did he read these? It's because it was the only reading that he had available that the castle could afford. And in the early stages of this enforced reading, his attention was always just centered on the saints. And so in 1522, Ignatius said farewell to his family and went to Montserrat, a place of pilgrimage in northeastern Spain. There he spent 3 days confessing the sins of his whole life, and he hung his sword and dagger near the statue of the Virgin Mary as symbols of abandoning his ambitions. And then, clothed in sackcloth, he spent the night in March 24th in prayer.
Yeah, you talk about detachment and conversion, right? And leading a new way. That's what happened then. And so he established the Society of the Jesuits in 1540, and their motto is AMDG. It is the Ad Majore M de Gloriam in Latin, which means
for the greater glory of God.
The symbols they use in a lot of, you could see this in churches and some of the vestments of the priests, are IHS. And that's Jesus Hominum Salvator, are the first three letters in Greek of the name of Jesus. For the Jesuits, education is of the utmost importance. Many schools and universities...
are run by the Jesuits.
Yeah, started and run by the Jesuits. The Jesuits were, as St. Ignatius said, go out and set the world on fire, and which they did.
Yeah, they do a lot of missionary work.
Missionary work. They were sent to Europe. They went to Japan. They went to Latin America, like Brazil. And they even went to Canada. And we're so fortunate to have the Martyr Shrine up in Midland.
Yeah, and it's a Jesuit parish where the remains of St. John de Brebeuf, St. René Groupil, St. Charles Garnier, to name a few, and many other holy men, they're all laid to rest there. And now at present, there are about 13,000 Jesuit priests and those in formation around the world. So under St. Ignatius' charismatic leadership, the Society of Jesus grew quickly, and the Jesuit missionaries played a leading role in the Counter-Reformation and won back many of the European faithful who had been lost to Protestantism.
It's incredible. You know, there was a divide, but, you know, the Jesuits started at a time to keep the Catholic Church strong.
And under St. Ignatius, the Society of Jesus believed that reform in the Catholic Church began with the reform of the individual, of ourselves, in ourselves. The founding members of the Society of Jesus took a vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience under Ignatius. And now currently, Jesuits take the same three vows today, along with the vow of obedience to the Pope. St. Ignatius was canonized on March 12, 1622, and we celebrate his feast day July 31st.
Yeah, it's coming.
Last day of the month. Yeah.
It's a little bit more about the Jesuits. With the rise of nationalism and secularism in the 18th century, most European countries suppressed the Jesuits.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting. And in 1773, Pope Clement dissolved the order under the pressure from the Bourbon monarchs. But, however, the power of the Holy Spirit in 1814, Pope Pius the VII gave in to popular demand and, for the right reasons, reestablished the Jesuits as their order. And they continued their missionary work to this day. They are driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have a Pope who is a Jesuit.
Pope Francis.
He's the only Jesuit cardinal. And
lo and behold.
Yeah, he is also the Pope.
Yes.
So as mentioned before, we only have so much time. So we're just going to introduce you into some of the practices and pathways the Jesuit teachings bring us closer to God. So we will begin with the signature spirituality of the Jesuits.
So what is their signature spirituality? It is to go out and find God in all things. So what does that mean? So we're supposed to look at all things, be it in nature, in song, in poems, art, people, and find God there. Yeah, God is everywhere, really.
Even some of the people we may not like at work. So,
yeah, and it's, you know, and it goes in hand with following the path of Jesus.
Yeah. So what is Ignatian spirituality?
So Ignatian spirituality is grounded in the conviction that God is active in our world. So God's not remote from us. There's a quote here that says that he is at the point of my pen, my paintbrush, my needle. So even in our work, you know, working on the computer, he's at the point of everything in my heart and in my thoughts. So the spiritual path laid out by Ignatius is a way of discerning God's presence in our everyday lives and doing something about it.
It's like St. Teresa of Lisieux. You know, sometimes we expect to be, you know, it's like grand and large, you know, the spirit of God. But, you know, it's in the small things. And she said, make the little things make the ordinary extraordinary. And there you will find God.
That's right. And so the spiritual exercises are the main purpose of is to free the soul of excessive detachment, such as unfree addictive behavior, and then seek and find the will of God. And it aims to bring people closer to God and more deeply into the world with gratitude, passion, and humility, not away from it. Ignatius called on the Jesuits to be contemplatives in action.
I like that word.
Yeah.
What is that again?
Contemplatives in action.
We need to hear that more.
Yeah, so deep thinkers, yeah. Right? And today, Jesuits and their lay collaborators work with people in many walks of life. So they're in education and in business, and they help nurture men and women for others. And so St. Ignatius and the Jesuits established many forms of prayer. What's the first?
So the first and the big one is an outline of the spiritual exercises. The spiritual exercises are a compilation of meditations, prayers, and contemplative, there's that word again, practices developed to help people deepen their relationship with God. I have that book. And it's a book that you might have to read two or three times. Some people take 8 days. Some people take 30 days retreat to do this. There, in the exercises, you will find God's creative and unconditional love. It is a positive sense of God, of self-creation, where we learn to detach and desire to be free. We will have a conversion of heart. It is coming to our faith in Christ, to the crucified Christ. It is the call of the King to follow Christ the King. It is a deeper desire to be a disciple. There's contemplations of Jesus in the Gospels, and it is a practical decision to live one's life with and for Christ in service, especially through the Passion of Christ. And if we keep this as a reminder that, you know, how much Jesus loved us, this will give us motivation to do the will of God and to go forward.
Now, the second form of prayer is examination of conscience. And the structure of it is first, to become aware of God's presence. Second, review the day with gratitude. Three, pay attention to your emotions and how you felt during the day. Four, choose one feature of the day and pray on it. And five, look forward to tomorrow. And even a shorter form of this examination of conscience is to ask yourself, what have I done? What am I currently doing? And what will I do?
So just a little point is that try and see what works better in the morning. Can you do it at work or at night? But the examination, you know, is kind of a review of yourself and your soul. Am I getting closer, or what's stopping me from getting closer to God?
Yeah.
The next form or way, pathway, is Ignatian contemplation. Another nice word.
Yes.
Ignatian contemplation is prayer with scripture. It is meeting God through story. You can begin with lighting a candle and getting comfortable.
It sets the tone and the mood, right?
And some of these parts of this prayer are similar to Alexio Divina. The prayer develops as you live into a scripture story with all your senses and most of all, your imagination. You become a participant in the story, and you continue in the story in your heart, mind, imagination, spirit, and body after reading it. You let the Spirit guide the prayer. You don't force anything to happen. You let it happen within you and around you. So it's very important.
And to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very important to keep silence and, you know, to find a really good time in the day, maybe at night, or if it works for you in the morning, or maybe do this out in the nature.
During a break of the day as well. Mm-hmm.
So you may pray with the same story for many days in a row before you feel the prayer is complete. So with this, you will truly experience the richness of God in your life. So with the contemplation, we use the five senses, which are to see, smell, hear, feel, and taste. So in this case, we will share with you the story of the Last Supper. Imagine if you were there. What are some of the things that you would see? Well, you would see the disciples, people getting the meal ready, and a wonderful table set with food.
What do you smell? Well, of course, you'd be smelling the food, the roasted lamb, maybe the freshly baked bread.
Yeah. Some of the things you will hear is Jesus proclaiming that he is the bread of life. You will also hear the noise of dishes and people moving cups. Okay, what will you feel? You will feel a nervous excitement because you know that this is the beginning of the Christian Catholic faith, right?
And what do you taste? Of course, the bread, the lamb, the bitter herbs, and the wine.
Oh, especially the wine.
The good wine.
Yeah. With contemplative prayer in our life, we become more attentive. And it leads to awareness. We become more receptive and present. And we are able to embrace and desire God more and allow His unconditional love into our hearts. But it begins with a choice to say yes and open your heart to the Holy Spirit.
A fourth type of spirituality, Ignatian spirituality, is what it allows us you to do is to focus on desolation and consolations, which are the cycle of our life. So during desolation, this is a moving away from God. So what happens is it turns us in on ourselves. It drives us down into our own negative feelings. It cuts us off from community. It makes us give up of what is important to us, and it drains us of energy. Consolation is going towards God. What happens in consolation is it directs our focus outside and beyond ourselves. It lifts our hearts so that we can see the joys and sorrows of other people, bonds us more closely to our human community. It generates new inspiration and ideas, restores balance and refreshes our inner vision, and shows us where God is active in our lives and where He's leading us, and releases new energy in us.
Yeah, a new and positive energy, because in desolation, we need, as the Marianne just said, it drains us of energy. There's a lot of energy vampires out there.
That's right.
When we turn to consolation, turning towards God, these vampires are turned away with the positive and everlasting energy of Jesus Christ.
And so what are some strategies for turning desolation into consolation? Well, when you're in desolation, let's just stay the course.
That's like what we're doing with all these practices we're doing for safety during the COVID. We need to continue to be safe, to keep social distancing.
Yeah, be vigilant,
yeah.
Right?
It's this virus is still around. Even though things look good, we still need to be and practice safety.
The most important thing then in desolation is to be patient,
yeah,
right?
Breathe.
Though you think you see things getting better,
breathe,
you know,
stay
be
calm.
Vigilant, be, yeah, you know, constant in everything. Also, think long term. Think of the long term goal, right? Where we're headed.
Vision.
Mm-hmm. Starve desolation with increased spirituality.
Yes.
So pray more.
Go to church.
Yeah, go to church. Yeah. Be with God. Speak to God.
Another big way, and we're going to get into it later, is silence, right? In silence, that's when God can enter. Because sometimes into our hearts and our minds, because sometimes we're just so busy. And we're busy with doing good things, not just bad things. You know, we're engaged, we have family responsibilities. But always try and find that quiet time or solitude time. So that's important.
And use times of consolation wisely. Know your enemy and consider the reasons for your desolation.
So the most important key to surviving desolation. So perhaps the most profound advice for those in desolation is found in Ignatius's focus on sufficient grace. A person who is in desolation should recall that he can do much to withstand all of his enemies, the issues he's going through, by using sufficient grace that is in them and taking strength in his Creator and Lord. Whether from Saint Ignatius or Saint Paul, the prophets, or Jesus Christ himself, some things just never change. Surviving difficulty can be done. It can only be done because of sufficient grace. Sufficient grace reminds us of Saint Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12.
And that is, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast in all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Wow, that's very powerful. That's a beautiful word, sufficient grace.
And so perhaps St. Ignatius' advice can be a roadmap to direct us back to the strength and sufficiency of God's grace in all times and of weakness and desolation. And so we can be assured that with sufficient grace, we don't need to look anywhere else but to God for strength.
So when you immerse yourself into Ignatian spirituality and attend your Jesuit retreat, and there's a few in Ontario homes where you can experience it, you know, like a 3-day or an 8-day retreat, a lot of words that we're asked to focus on are, again, my favorite word, contemplative. What is essential? Humility, healing, stillness, solitude, silence, confession,
mercy, trust, discernment, manifestation, detachment, conversion, transformation, liberty, enlightenment.
So some of the phrases that the Jesuit
are known for
are for the greater glory of God.
The world is charged with the grandeur of God.
And a big thing St. Ignatius would tell all his brothers when they were sent out around the world, is to set the world on fire.
And isn't that a beautiful book, Word on Fire, no?
Yes.
The beautiful, that we received at the Manresa retreat.
Yeah.
Filled with different prayers and poems. The Jesuits.
Yeah, and it makes you look at many things. And, you know, one of the favorite teachings... when, we encountered doing this program is the phrase, be still and know I am God.
That's right.
Right? And a practice that we were taught is to say the phrase, be still and know I am God, and then slowly take a word away, right? So the next phrase would be still and know, right? Then the next phrase would
be still.
And then the final word we would say is
be,
you know, to be one with God, right?
And just to be like present, just to be.
Yeah, to be alive, to be aware,
yeah.
Not to be, you know, because sometimes we could go in this life and we could be sometimes in a daze. And especially now with so much going on with this COVID and this, you know, a lot of division between races and a lot of hatred. And I think there's a lot of ignorance going on there. I think we all need to stop. We need to sit down. As Father Andre mentioned recently in the homily, is we need to talk together, right?
Yes.
We need to be patient. Like, what would Jesus do, right?
Yeah,
this is what he would do.
And it's all about, you know, not focusing on yourselves, but like look to others and love others. And like you said, get to know others, talk to them.
Yeah.
Understand their point of view.
You know, because life is, as the Jesuits said, it's filled with the grandeur of God. And because there's a lot of stress that everyone's gone through, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, what color your skin is. We've all experienced a great stress, a worry, and an anxiety. And maybe we've strayed away from God. Maybe we haven't. Maybe a lot of people I know have become stronger. But I think if we do a daily dose of, you know, some of the prayers that or forms like contemplation, the examination, if we use the spiritual exercises, and don't forget the rosary, right?
That's right.
We
powerful prayer.
We can't forget Mother Mary because she's there with St. Ignatius. and all the things that we've mentioned, right? Mm. And so with that, you know, we hope we were able to share with you some ways that St. Ignatius taught us and his Jesuit brothers to pray and to, you know, to desire and find God in all things. So with that, I think we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we will be talking about
the value of retreats
and getting away and being closer to God.
Are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
So welcome back, everyone. So we've been talking about Ignatian spirituality, and now we're moving on to our second part of the show, which is looking at the value of retreats. And in particular, what we know most about is the retreats by the Jesuits. So a retreat, what is the value? Its value is it refreshes and revitalizes. It gives the opportunity for more time spent in prayer and contemplation, and rekindles and deepens one's relationship with God. One may take this opportunity to more clearly hear God's call and to seek God's healing grace and thereby attain a degree of spiritual renewal. So the purpose of a retreat, a spiritual retreat, as an addition to daily spiritual activities, is to temporarily leave behind the usual distractions we all face for a time, long enough to allow relaxation and for an inner charge to occur, the ongoing conversion of heart that is critical to deepening faith. And the necessity of retreats can be described as, in the fever and agitation of modern life, the need of meditation and spiritual repose impresses itself on Christian souls, whose desire to reflect on their eternal destiny and direct their life in this world towards God.
Wow, you make it sound so simple. And it truly is. It's a choice.
So in a nutshell, all it is really to get away from our world and all its distractions and to allow us to focus on God and what is he saying to us, right?
And it all starts with a choice to say yes.
Yeah, and how did we come to know about retreats, and in particular
Miranda has a Reese. I know she was telling me about it, and I think we were kind of hesitant. A good friend of ours, we were invited by Sister Christina, and you know, we were hesitant, we procrastinated. We're too busy.
Yeah, she told us about this Manresa Jesuit retreat house, and she kept bringing it up. You should go. You should go. You'd really like it.
There's a special priest, Father Philip. So many good things, this and that. And, you know, and...
we're like, yeah.
And, you know, nothing says, you know, get it done like the last minute. So we signed up like 3 days before.
And it was actually filled, wasn't it?
And it was filled.
And there was a, two spots that came empty so that we could fill them.
Yeah, we were very lucky.
We were lucky, yes.
Because we waited till the last minute, right? And so entering into a retreat, as I enter into retreat, I begin with a deep and faithful generosity. Deep faith that the Divine Shepherd wants to communicate very personally with me. God can do so only if I am open as much as possible, no matter where I have been in life, no matter how closed I have been in the past. Therefore, I begin by quieting my both being internally and externally, taking the norm of silence. Yes, silence, another beautiful
word. It's all about the silence.
And being extremely important for the atmosphere, which will allow me to carry God and to communicate with him personally with me. I shall take care to be recollected, to relax, and to let go in this nurturing presence. So the first gift I shall seek from God on this retreat and in every prayer is the gift of deep confidence and trust that God loves and cares for us. So.
Yeah, and so when we did finally go on this retreat, boy, did we enjoy it. And we've never looked back, and we now go every year, if not twice a year.
Yeah, the retreat house is in Pickering. So if you look it up, it's Manresa Pickering, and it'll come up and have all the details. And even though because of COVID, it was closed from March.
Yes.
And we
didn't get to go.
But luckily we went there not too long ago. The grounds were open and we walked the labyrinth. We did the rosary and we did our talk.
We prepared,
we sat in the beauty in the nature. And
right there,
we were lucky enough that we met Father Hank, the director at Manresa, and he gave us good news that hopefully, if all goes well, the retreat house will be operational in September.
To a limited capacity, but still will likely be opened. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good news.
So there's a lot of good things happening. We just, have to be proactive and, look, and like we mentioned before, find God in all things, right? Because God is there and it doesn't have to be like lightning and thunderstorms. It's in the small stuff, right? Yeah. And in this case, was in nature, being in the silence.
And so what are some of the things that we like about Manresa and the Jesuit retreats? Well, it's a chance to really shut down everything and to be in silence. And what do you call it, Nick?
I call it a lack of noise retreat, because that word silence kind of really people get freaked out mm-hmm. when they hear it. But silence, when you get the word silent and you move it around the letters, you get the word listen.
Right.
Right. So right. The same words that make up listen make up the word silent. And prayers are wonderful. We talk to God, but in the silence, that's when God can talk to us in many ways, mm-hmm. in the nature, in words, and in feeling, right?
And what else do you call this?
Well, I call it a spiritual bed and breakfast, yeah. because there's many bed and breakfasts out there, but nothing compares to this, because you get being away from all the stresses and distractions in this world. But, you go there. You get to encounter God, you get to sleep well, and you get to eat well, because there is a buffet. But all good food, of course.
Yeah, and so like I was saying, it allows you to shut everything down and really to focus on God and how much God loves you and focus on His graces that He has given you daily. And yeah, I remember during one of the sessions, one of the priest leaders talked about how if we have a basket, we should be taking in all, like capturing all the graces into the basket. Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'd be full.
Yeah. And on that note, that's perfect to just what I was going to say. On the last retreat that I was at, it was a men's retreat. And there are so many things to do when you enter into, be it the Manresa Retreat House or any other retreat homes. You want to do everything. You want to do this event. You want to do be part of the rosary. You want to be part of the way of the cross.
All sorts of things.
You want to take that 10-mile walk in nature. You want to be all the...
Do this, do that, do that.
Which is great. Yeah. But, the last time I was there... The priest leading the retreat said, you are not here to achieve all things, but you are here to receive the grace of God.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Isn't it?
And so you're allowed, even you don't have to be part of all the events in a retreat. It would be nice, but you're there to rest and to be receptive to all the graces that are coming in.
So that being said, here is a little bit of the structure of what you can expect if you go to the Manresa Jesuit House. It starts on Friday evening at around 7:30. You enter the gates there. The gates are opened. And once you enter, don't you feel like you're on sacred grounds? It's just so peaceful, so beautiful, those grounds.
You feel like you've arrived.
Yes. And then it starts at that evening with an orientation, a conference. There's personal prayer. There's exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, so adoration in the chapel. And so you've started the silent retreat, and there's no speaking for 36 hours.
Yeah, the only time is when we do the Way of the Cross. Or if you have questions to ask the priest. Other than that, talking really isn't encouraged, but, you can, if need be, you can whisper things to, if you have a question and stuff. So.
And then the next day, yeah, we rise.
You rise, and then you hear the bells. The bells of St. Mary as a reminder to get up. Hopefully you're refreshed. Then we do the morning prayers. And, you know, there we listen to the music of Taze. Then we go to breakfast, to the input session. And this, I find, is the most powerful time on the Saturday, is the personal time. You can walk, you can go a counseling session, you could even go back to bed.
Right? And there's also a labyrinth that you could walk.
Yes, a labyrinth.
That's a beautiful way of praying.
Yeah.
Right?
That's so true. So you have an opportunity to do that. You know, then we do a Eucharistic celebration.
So there's Mass, followed by lunch.
So there's many things to do. A powerful thing on the retreat is the Way of the Cross, mm-hmm. where you pray the Stations of the Cross. And with that, you have time to rest again. There's an input session. There's
personal prayer again.
Yeah, there's reconciliation. Then there's dinner.
And then the evening ends with, you could go into the conference hall and watch a film.
Yeah, watch a film. Or you can just have quiet time and, go and pray in the chapel. So then you go to sleep. Now, it sounds like it's very busy, but there is a lot of quiet time.
Downtime, yeah.
So the next day, you know, again, you rise, you hear the bells. We do morning prayer and you feel so relaxed. You know, you feel like you're away from everything, right? And then we do an input session and...
And then it leads to another time of personal prayer and reflection. And during that last time is really the time you prepare for the final, like, it's called a director's talk. The director speaks, but it's followed by a closing circle in the conference hall where everyone gathers in a circle to talk about, and it's, you know, it's all voluntarily. You can talk about what has been your experience. What did you get out of this retreat?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes there's 40 people, sometimes there's 60 people, and not everyone says, what is on their mind. But I find that's one of the most moving segments where people, they've gone through so much tragedy and then they've come to such a sense of peace. The only thing is that you have to return back to the real world.
Yeah. I found the very first time that we went on a retreat, that was the most moving time. You got most out of it because it was the first time, right?
Yeah, and it was the theme of the weekend was the one necessary thing. And we ask everyone listening, what is the one necessary thing that you need to become closer to God? And pray on that tonight, because there's so many things we need, but there is one necessary thing. It could be faith, hope, love. Could be joy. It could be many things.
Whatever it is to you, right?
Whatever it is to you.
And I just remember leaving that first retreat and going back into the city and finding, wow, like it's so busy and noisy. And I want to go back.
we were told that it'll be a shock when you leave. And that it was. Yeah. Right. So, but that's why we continue to go back and we encourage people, you know, to go there. If you can't go for a 3-day, do your own mini retreat. Go to the grounds, to Manresa, to another spiritual grounds, up north. You can go to, you know, the Martyr Shrine. Just spend some time. Okay. And so in closing, we were able to share with you some of the things about Ignatian spirituality and finding God in all things.
We also shared with you our experience of going on a retreat, especially at Manresa. And so if you've never been on a retreat, we really highly encourage you to try it and to experience it. You will not be disappointed. You will encounter many graces of God. It's a real life changer and you won't look back. And you will, I believe, continue to go back year after year like we do.
And we were so moved that we didn't know what we were going to talk about for this month's program. And then this just flowed like a flowing river, this
yes.
program. And in closing, we want to thank everyone for listening to Alex producing the show. Keep the faith to all the prisoners of All Saints and to all faithful listeners and new listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
For being part of this program in our journey towards God and finding Him in all things. And we will close with a Ignatian prayer. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from God's Christ's side, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me.
O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Let me not be separated from you. From the enemy, defend me. At my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints, I may praise you forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you. God bless.
And good night.
And stay healthy and safe.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.